evening, everyone. Good to have you here this evening. If you would, get your Bible and be ready to study along with us in God's Word. The passage was read earlier in Luke, the 10th chapter, is a story that's probably familiar to most of us here, the story of the Good Samaritan. And whenever we think about the Good Samaritan, we think about that story. But there's more than one Good Samaritan. And tonight I want us to consider not the Good Samaritan, but three Good Samaritans. And these stories are probably going to be familiar to you also, but I believe as we consider what they did, we can learn some important lessons by what they did and how they lived. As recorded in God's Word, they are certainly applicable to us and patterns that we should follow. And I wanted to look at these because sometimes we forget about the great influence that we have on others by small things that we may do. Sometimes we may forget that others are always watching what we do, and sometimes we forget that God is always watching what we do. But this should never be forgotten. The world is watching us, and they are judging us by what they see in our lives. And they're going to judge the entirety of the Christian faith by what they see in you and me. As fair or as unfair as that may be, that is what happens. And these small illustrations we're going to look at this evening exemplify the fact that it doesn't matter how small a deed we may think we have done, it is going to affect others. And it will do so whether we realize that or not. We may not ever know how our deeds and our words affect others. We may never see the end result of what we say and do. But when we consider the examples we're going to look at tonight, what we do with these things is going to determine the result of the things that they did almost 2,000 years ago. In other words, what they did is going to affect us, or it can. So tonight I want us to take a look at the three good Samaritans tonight. Let's take a look at each of these individuals and see what good things that they have done that are worthy of our consideration and how we can imitate them. The first one is from the passage was read earlier in Luke, the 10th chapter. And if you want to follow along in this, let's note some things. Since the passage was read already, let's just note some of the things that this good Samaritan did. Well, first thing I want us to know is that the fact that he demonstrated love for his neighbor. If we back up in this passage prior to this, we have back in verse 25 a certain lawyer standing up and testing Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And so Jesus tells this story of the Good Samaritan, this Good Samaritan. And the point is to show him what it means to love the neighbor. At the end of this, Jesus asked in verse 36, "Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." This good Samaritan demonstrated love to his neighbor, but in doing so, he did something that was unexpected by most people, and I would say on both sides of the aisle here, the Samaritans and the Jews. If anybody in the audience of Jesus would have heard of these three main characters who came along, a priest, a Levite, and this Samaritan, and Jesus had asked them ahead of time, "Which one do you think is going to be the good guy in the story?" I would almost guarantee you nobody would have picked the Samaritan. It was just not expected in that day that a Samaritan would stop to help out a Jew. But this man did the unexpected in demonstrating his love for his neighbor. Even the hardened lawyer had to admit in the end that this Samaritan was the one who showed mercy. Now, he wouldn't even bring himself to say the Samaritan, but he did recognize that he showed mercy on the beaten man. We also see him acting unselfishly when he stops to help him. Now, as we know the story there, this man had been traveling down the road. And he had fell among thieves, and they stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and they left. But this man doesn't know that. He sees this man on the side of the road who's beaten, and he's severely wounded. It could be that the same ones who beat up this man are waiting and hiding behind a rock, waiting for the next guy to come along. But he's not thinking about that. He literally put his life in jeopardy, possibly by stopping to help this man. And he further showed his unselfish attitude by taking out the time to tend to this beaten man and dressing his wounds, still in the same area where his life could have been in danger. But then he went further, placed the man on his own animal, let him ride to an inn to take care of him again. He didn't think about his own personal possessions, didn't think about the expense to this. He gave the innkeeper 2 denarii, which was about 2 days' pay, and said, take care of him, and if there's any more, I'll pay it when I return. So he's not thinking about his personal possessions or expenses. He wasn't caring about his own comfort. He wasn't caring about what might happen to him should he stop to help. He was demonstrating his love for his neighbor in that he acted unselfishly. And when it came down to it, he cared for his fellow man. I want to notice 2 descriptive terms for what this man did. Notice in verse 33, when this certain man came along and he saw the man where he was, what does it say there? He had compassion. In other words, he had this feeling of love and pity for the condition of this man that he saw here on the side of the road. Didn't matter who it was, he had compassion. And in the end, when Jesus asked who was the neighbor, in the lawyer's reply, he gave another descriptive term here that is very important. He showed mercy. We see compassion and we see mercy in this man. What we see in him is that he cared about his fellow man. Compassion can be easily overlooked, but he cared enough for his fellow man to act. Because see, that's what compassion does. It's not just looking at someone who's in this condition and going by shaking our head saying, oh boy, that is so sad, and then going about our business. It is seeing the man in this condition and feeling this sorrow and pity for him and then doing something to relieve him of that condition. That's true compassion. But I want us to also note in all this, he was not looking for anything in return. This Samaritan did not ask for anything in return. He took out the time to help. He took this man to the inn and cared for him further and paid for the innkeeper to care for him further, leaving money with him and telling him if he needed anything further, he would repay him when he came back. He asked for nothing because he was simply doing the right thing. He was loving his neighbor. Now, when we look at this, I hope we can learn some important lessons in this to do as he did and love our fellow man in the same way. But you see, our standard is now higher even than this great example here. Again, this story was told to illustrate how one may love his neighbor as himself and who our neighbors are. We are to love one another now, as Jesus said in John the 13th chapter, verse 34, as he loved us. And then Jesus went on to say in verse 35, by this the world will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another as I love you. We've got an even higher standard now, not to love our neighbor as ourselves, but to love one another as Christ loved us. Not just, and I believe the Samaritan even exhibited this. He didn't love somebody who loved him. He loved somebody, if he'd been in normal circumstances, wouldn't have had anything to do with him. So we need to ask ourselves, do we love our fellow man? Do we love one another in the way that Christ said we must? Do we care for our fellow man? And if so, what are we doing about it? Are we willing to act when others feel that it's beneath them? Do we do also the unexpected and go help someone that most of society wouldn't touch with the proverbial 10-foot pole? Are we willing to put our own feelings our own needs and even our own material possessions as less important than the needs of someone else when they need it? Do we reach out to others only if we can receive something in return, or do we do anything because it's the right thing? John asked rhetorically in 1 John 3 and verse 17, if anyone sees his brother needs and withholds his good from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Rhetorical question again, because it doesn't. And so he goes on to admonish us, little children, let us love not in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, let's not just talk about loving our neighbor and loving one another. Let's prove it by what we do. The Samaritan, this good Samaritan, did just that. And I believe he's worthy of our imitation. The second good example we're going to look at, just turn a few pages over in your Bible to Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke, the 17th chapter, and let's begin reading in verse 11. Now it happened as he went, he being Jesus, he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Good question. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now here's another good Samaritan, I believe, that is worthy of our time and for the example that he sets. Number one, because he was thankful. Now, I say he was thankful because he took the time after he had been healed to go back to Jesus. Again, notice in verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And this was the Samaritan. Now, I'm sure these 10 men were unbelievably happy to have been healed of this dreaded disease. And I imagine that at the moment that they realized that they were healed, they all wanted to run back to their families from whom they had been separated all this time and tell them the great news of what had happened. But one man, the Samaritan, took the time to go back to the one who healed him to thank him for it. He understood his family would still be there whenever he got done. And he believed that Christ was worthy of his time, his thanks, and his glory. And that's the second point there. He glorified God. In returning to the one who had healed him, we find the man with a loud voice glorified God. He praised God for the thing that had been done for him, and he wanted others to know with a loud voice about what had been done and who was the one behind it all. And so he set a notable example in his thankfulness and his estimation of God's greatness. I believe there's a lesson for us in that also. We need to take time out to thank God also. Sometimes we get so tied up in the affairs of this world that we don't stop and thank God for the great things that He's done for us. I had an occasion this weekend to go back up to my hometown to visit my dad, and just happened this past weekend was our 40th reunion, high school. Yikes, somebody's getting old. And let me tell you, when you go back to see people you haven't seen in 40 years, don't even try to guess their names. Several people thought I was somebody else, so it happens. But in conversation with a few people there, they would ask, you know, what's going on in your life? And I couldn't help but say, you know, God's blessed me way beyond what I deserve. Got a great family, great wife has been with me, put up with me for almost 37 years, got 4 kids, all good kids. You know, I've just been very blessed. And I wasn't ashamed to say that to anybody. I've been very blessed. I'm very thankful for all God's done for me. But I'm also thankful for the great salvation that He's provided for me, even more than that. Where would I be without that great salvation that God has provided for me? The problem is that today, some don't think about what God's done for them. Some claim to honor God, but they do so at their own convenience and in their own way. Some cannot even take out time enough to return thanks to God for sending His Son to die for their sins. Have we forgotten that? We need to follow the pattern of this Good Samaritan and take the time to go back to the one frequently and thank Him for the spiritual healing that He's done for us. Where would we be if He had not died for us? Well, we would all be lost. Is that not reason enough to go back to God and to Jesus Christ time and time again to thank them for what they've done for us? Really, on a daily basis, we should be doing this. When we stop and consider who God is and who we are, should we not render all glory and honor to the God of gods? This man did not hesitate to glorify God for what had happened to him, and neither should we. When we return thanks to God and glorify Him, we show the world the greatness of God and set the example for others to follow like this Good Samaritan did for us. And finally, let's look at a third Good Samaritan, this one in John the 4th chapter. Again, a story that's probably familiar to most of us here. When Jesus comes to Sychar and speaks to the Samaritan woman at the well. And we know the story here. Let's just read just the beginning part of this. Verse 5. He came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" John adds, as the writer here, that Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. But Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And we go on in the conversation there, and eventually she makes a statement that's kind of like an open-ended question in verse 20. She said, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Kind of like an open-ended statement there. What do you say about that, Jesus? And so Jesus said to her in verse 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Now, eventually, the woman leaves when the disciples come back, and they're marveling at the fact that he is talking with this woman. She then leaves, verse 28, and what does she do? Well, she goes back into the city. And we find in verse 39 that many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." Now that's significant. Because, first of all, here we've got an unexpected conversation to begin with. Jesus comes to the well and asks for a drink from this Samaritan woman. And she's surprised that he would even speak with her. He being a Jew and she a Samaritan. Because again, as John writes there, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. The Jews looked down at the Samaritans as sort of what some have called a mongrel race, a people who were Jews of mixed lineage back when the southern kingdom was invaded by Assyria. Assyria moved in people from other nations and they intermingled there. So there were Jews marrying and having children with other nations. So they were not purebred. And so they were looked down upon by the Jews of Jerusalem. But Jesus spoke to her. And she did a worthy thing by not just simply turning away. She could have convinced herself that it was going to be fruitless to talk to this unknown man who was a Jew, but she spoke to him anyway. And then after her conversation with Jesus, she was convinced that he was the Christ, and so she didn't keep this news to herself. As we just saw when the disciples returned, she left her water pot there, goes back into the city and begins to tell others about this man whom she had met. And we saw there in verse 39, because she spoke of Jesus, many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. What if she had not spoken? What if she just went back and went back to her house and closed the door and started thinking on things just by herself and didn't tell anybody that? Well, we wouldn't be reading that. No, what if she just went home and closed the door and convinced herself, you know, nobody will listen anyway? What if she told herself, you know, nobody would believe me even if I told them? Well, again, we wouldn't be reading about this story. What we need to learn from this Good Samaritan is we need to take every opportunity. We need to take opportunity like Jesus did and speak to this Samaritan woman, even though that's not what Jews normally did. Can we look around in our society today? Can we pick out individuals? Can we pick out classes of people whom the majority of our society would rather not have anything to do with, and have a conversation with them and maybe cause a little bit of surprise on their end because we are speaking to them? And there we have another opportunity to go further in our discussion with them as Jesus did. Can we do that? Can we take another opportunity like the Samaritan woman did when she goes back to the city to tell others about what we know about Jesus? How many people do we run into every day that are opportunities for us to speak to them about Jesus and what we know about Him and what He's done for us? You know, sometimes when unexpected conversations come up, they lead to opportunities, and people that we think we prejudge as they want nothing to do with us, we have opportunities. And the opportunity may be there that we may not even recognize. Will we tell them about Christ? Will we be as excited as this Samaritan woman was and stirred to tell others about what we know about Jesus, what He said to us through the written word? We need to be more like this Good Samaritan and speak, telling others about the Christ. We need to ignore whatever society says about, well, you can't go talk to them. People don't do that. Well, maybe it's time that we should. Maybe we should ignore those social barriers and speak about Jesus at every opportunity that we have. We find, again, verse 39, that because she told them about Jesus, many believed in Him. Others came out because she told them about Jesus and wanted to hear from Jesus Himself. It may be that when we speak to someone about Jesus, they don't believe us. But maybe it will cause them to at least have the interest to, let's go find out more about Him. I'm not going to take that guy's word for it. I'm going to go look for myself. I'm going to open up my Bible and see what it says. That's okay too. Because it may be that it ends up like verse 41, many more believe because of His own word. Maybe they just need to read the Bible for themselves. That's okay. But we need to be more like this Good Samaritan. In all these three examples, we find some excellent stories about people who were not even the focus of the ministry of Jesus. At this time, He brought the word only to the house of Israel, the Jews. But as He went about teaching, He used the examples of these people for lessons that stand the test of time. We're reading them today. And they're there for us to learn from. We need to be the people who are willing to visibly demonstrate our love for our fellow man like these Good Samaritans. We need to be people who are willing to publicly declare our thanks and praise to God for what He's done for us like these Good Samaritans. We need to be people who are willing to speak at every opportunity and speak about the Christ to all who will hear us. And even those who might not be so willing, like these Good Samaritans. How about you this evening? Are you a child of God? Have you heard the gospel message? If so, how have you responded to that up to this point? The story of the gospel is the story of God's love for us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The story is how He came to this earth, lived as we live, and faced every temptation as we face them, yet without sin. And at the end of His life, He died on the cruel cross of Calvary for our sins. When the message of the gospel was sent out into the world, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Have you been baptized into Christ? If not, our plea this evening is that you do so, that your sins may be forgiven. You may become a child of God. You may have the hope of eternal life in heaven. Maybe you're here tonight as somebody who's obeyed the gospel in the past, but have not been walking faithfully with the Lord, or you're here tonight and you know you have sin in your life that you've yet to ask forgiveness from God. Take care of it tonight and make it right in whatever way you need to. Could be that you're here tonight, you just need the prayers of this congregation for help in some way, but whatever your need, will you come as we stand and sing?